This is Shannon Popkin, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Radical Radiance. I'm Rebecca George, your host, and I'm excited to explore all four themes of Advent with you in our series called Prepare Him Room. This is episode 2, All About Peace. We've got a fantastic guest joining us, Shannon Popkin, author and podcast host of the Live Like It's True podcast. Shannon's wisdom, I just know, will be such an encouragement to you. A quick reminder, if you're looking for a meaningful way to journey through Advent this year, join us by ordering Prepare Him Room, Radical Radiance Interactive Advent Devotional on Amazon today. It's designed to lead you through these four conversations with journal prompts, scripture for reflection, discussion questions, and fun activities and recipes. You can use this Christmas season as you prepare room in your heart to celebrate the birth of Jesus and what his earthly ministry means for us today as followers of Christ. So let's jump right into this conversation all about peace. But before we do, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss any of the amazing conversations we're having here at Radical Radiance. Now, get ready for an amazing conversation. Help me welcome your friend and mine, Shannon Popkin, to the show. Shannon, friend, I am so excited to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for being here today.
Rebecca, thanks for having me. It's a great joy to be with you.
I am so excited. I had just the joy of being on your podcast not all that long ago,
Yeah. And
I'm excited to share with listeners at the end of the episode how they can get more of your wisdom and your books and your amazing podcast. I just love how God is using you and that unique angle that he's given you to just teach the word. And I can't wait to share you with my people. But I am so excited about the conversation we get to have today as a part of our Preparing Him Room Advent series. We're talking all about preparing our hearts to celebrate Jesus's birth and what that means for us today. And I wonder, when I say that phrase, preparing him room, what comes to mind in your own heart, in your own life, that you're thinking, man, that needs to shift in order to make space for all God wants to show us during that Advent season? What comes to mind when I kind of read that phrase?
Well, I think there's a difference between preparing him room and preparing for Christmas.
Amen.
Right? I mean, they've kind of become two different things. And I think it's like culture has invaded our lives. I remember, Rebecca, I used to be a piano teacher, and I remember a little girl sitting on my bench one day playing Away in a Manger for me. Mm. And after she played the song, she goes, "What's a manger?" And I was like, "Oh, honey, it's like, you know, it's like the feeding trough for animals, you know, like the story of Mary and Joseph, how they laid the baby in the manger." And she looked at me with this blank look. And I was like, "You know the story of Mary and Joseph, right?" And she did not. Yeah. I mean, like, we live in a pretty Christianity infused community. And here was a little girl who did not know the true story of Christmas. And I just think, like, as a culture, we've like hijacked this story and made it our own thing, you know, where it's about decorating and parties and food and gifts and family getting together. And yet that's, you know, that's really, so for me, preparing him room means, you know, getting back to the roots of what Christmas is, like going back to the meaning of this is a bigger story. It's not just me and my little life and my plans and my decorations or whatever. And what I've noticed, Rebecca, is I usually start out December more settled and focused on the true story of Christmas, Jesus arriving, you know. And then as the calendar goes on in December, as we get towards December 25th, I like lose my footing. I lose my, you know, I lose my way, and I get all tangled up in all the other stuff. And so, like, I think as we head towards Christmas, preparing him room means making spaces, you know, to reflect and making spaces with the people that I love to not just be overcome with all the traditions and celebrations, but like, let's talk about what the real purpose is here. What are we celebrating, actually? And let's focus on Jesus.
The Rebecca's Reads book for December is A Warrior Mama's Prayers, A Year of Praying Scripture Over My Child by Bethany Kimsey. Praying for your children is vital, and Bethany gives you a guide of prompts, scripture to reflect on, and space to journal as you dedicate time in prayer for your kids. You'll pray for the gospel to bear fruit, for their character, the spiritual battles they will face, and more. Get your copy of A Warrior Mama's Prayers by Bethany Kimsey, or grab a copy as a Christmas gift for your favorite mama on Amazon today. Are you looking for the perfect planner and journal for your time with Jesus? I want to share Wholehearted's Quiet Time Companion with you. Keep all of your prayer lists, memorization goals, learning notes, daily journal entries, and more neatly organized. I have used the Quiet Time Companion for a long time and can personally speak to how it has drawn me deeper into the delight of spending time with Jesus each day. Go grab one for yourself or for your best friend as a Christmas gift by visiting wholeheartedquiettime.com and use the code, all caps, Rebecca20 today. Yeah, I love that so much. And that is so my heart for this resource, is that it would be a space where people could come back to that when they're feeling like, you know, if you think of maybe bowling language, like they're hitting the gutter. And,
right.
and coming to that boundary mm-hmm. of, wow, I'm getting a little off kilter and I'm focusing on the things that will not matter in eternity, right? And not that gifts and all of those things aren't a beautiful part of this time of year and parties and all the things, but really getting back to the root of why we celebrate what we're celebrating. And mm-hmm. so I pray that the reflective piece of the actual resource that goes along with the Prepare Him Room series and just the discussion questions that you could go grab a cup of coffee with a friend for just mm-hmm. an hour and discuss mm-hmm. after both of you listen to these episodes. I pray that that helps keep us fixed on what we're really here for. And so I'm excited about that. Well, as we dig into peace, this episode is all about peace. I found a quote from Dr. Billy Graham that I really loved as he was kind of thinking and reflecting on peace. And so I'm going to read it for us. It's a little lengthy, so bear with us, listeners. He says, "Peace can be experienced only when we have received divine pardon, when we have been reconciled to God, and when we have the harmony within with our fellow man, especially with God. Through the blood of the cross, Christ has made peace with God for us and is himself our peace. If by faith we accept him, we are justified by God and can realize the inner serenity that can come to man through no other means. When Christ enters our hearts, we are freed of that haunting sense of sin, cleansed of all feeling of contamination and unfitness. We can lift up our heads, secure in the knowledge that we can look with confidence into the face of our fellow man. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." That's quoting Proverbs 16:7. "Even more important, we know that we can stand before God in the hour of our death with this same feeling of peace and serenity." So, Shannon, when I read that quote out loud, what kind of bubbles up in your own heart as you think about how we would define peace biblically, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we often, when we think of peace, we're like, I just need freedom from like the stress. I need to get away. I need a vacation. Mm-hmm. I need, you know, peace with somebody I'm in conflict with. I need peace. Like, we need world peace, whatever. But what Dr. Billy Graham is lifting our eyes to is like this bigger conflict that we're all part of, whether we realize it or not. And this, yeah. this, the overarching conflict that we are in is a disruption in the relationship between God and man.
Yeah.
So that's the broken thing. Like, that's what is breaking our peace. That's this breakdown in peace. It has to do with that. And a lot of people don't even realize that. They don't realize yeah. that's what's wrong with the world. But, you know, the Bible is a story, and it opens with this beautiful scene of creation, God creating this space, carving out this beautiful garden. And in this garden, he places two image bearers, Adam and Eve. And it's what this is a picture of shalom. The Bible uses this word shalom, which is peace, but it's like, it's more than peace. It's like peace and wholeness and tranquility and harmony. It's everything fitting together perfectly. And so we see Adam and Eve living in this perfect garden and enjoying this perfect relationship with God. Everything is all well and good. And it's because of the order. God is God. There's this order in place. He is God and they are not. And they're walking with him and they're enjoying they're his vice regents. They're representing his rule in the earth. And then in the next scene, God's enemy enters. And the woman is deceived about this fruit. You know, God has said, if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. The serpent says, no, you won't die if you eat it. And so Eve commits treason against our good God. There's no reason. He has given her no reason to doubt him. God has been only good. And yet this serpent deceives her. And so she sides with the serpent. It's absolutely absurd. And this is what breaks the relationship with God. Why does she do it? Like, that's the big question. It's like, why would you do this? And it's because she doesn't want to be dependent on God. The text says she wants to be like God. And so she doesn't want to let God decide what is good and what is evil. This tree, the fruit is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so she doesn't want to be dependent on God. She actually wants to be like God. She wants her eyes open. She wants to see what God sees. She wants to know what God knows. Ultimately, really, she wants to be in control of her life. Mm-hmm. And so when she took this fruit, she took control. When she broke God's one and only rule, she rejected God's rule in her life. And so this is where shalom was lost. The next part of the story is Adam and Eve are ushered out of the garden. They lose access to God. They lose access to the tree of life. There's this angel guarding their entrance. There's no way to get back. And then the story goes on and like their kids, Adam and Eve's, you know, the next generation, one brother kills another. Like, this is the world now, right? This is our first glimpse at what happens when we rebel against God, when we try to play God. You know, it's a world of conflict, not peace. Yeah. It's like everybody being their own God, deciding what's good in their own eyes. And so, like, any brokenness that we feel, any sorrow, any pain, any struggle, any lack of peace, it all kind of cascades down from this break in our relationship with God, rebelling against God. And so this is the great conflict that we're part of. Yeah. This is the world that we live in. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't repair the relationship. We can't make ourselves good. You know, we've fallen into this state of sin and rebellion against God. We're part of a lost world stuck in, frozen in conflict, and there's nothing we can do. And so I think that's what Billy Graham is getting at, you know?
Yeah.
And he's talking about, and so he's talking about this disruption of peace, and Christmas is what makes something else possible, right? Mm. Christmas, I love Luke 2. I was just reflecting on the verses this morning where these shepherds are in a field and these angels come, and the angel says, today, in the city of David, a savior was born for you, who is the Messiah. And so he's the savior. God. He's the one, the savior. I mean, it's so overt. It's so clear. Who is Jesus and why has he come? He is the savior. He's come to save us from this state of disarray, of rebellion against God, this lack of peace, lack of shalom. And so he's our Messiah. He comes to reconcile us to God and bring peace back to the world.
Amen. Amen. And I think so many times when we think about peace, we're thinking about, man, what are the things that I can do to get peace? What can I, and some of that is a valid thought, right? How can I eliminate noise so that I can be with God? How can, like, those are good questions to ask. But if we're thinking like, that it's on us to make peace happen in our lives, we're not seeing it rightly. Jesus came to give us his peace, right? And so the work has already been done on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to reflect on some of the passages that I just love so much in light of peace here in just a moment. But, and we've touched on my next question a tad, but I'd love to see if there's anything else we would add. There are some things that get in the way of our ability to experience peace. For me, some of the things that just naturally are coming to mind are the noise. The noise is, I think, a good way to say what we're probably all thinking of. That might be social media for you. That might be watching too much TV. It might be even saying yes to every opportunity for connection that are good yeses to say, but we can't say yes to everything in this season. So I don't know what's bubbling up for you, but Shannon, as I say that question, what gets in the way of your ability to experience peace? What comes to mind for you?
You know, ultimately, I think the disruption to peace is reverting back to Eve's mindset.
Yeah.
You know, in that garden of like wanting to be the one in control, wanting to be, or having this urgency, this sense, like putting the burden on my own shoulders, like it's all up to me. You know, I have to be the one in control. I have to make everything turn out right. I just had this memory as we were getting started here this morning of a Christmas where I had, you know, I had all the food ready. I had the house decorated. It was clean. Everything was done. And I was in a frenzy before everyone arrived. You know, we were hosting that year and I was barking out orders and telling the kids and my husband, what to do. And I was all stressed out. I was tense. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was anxious. And it got so bad, Rebecca, that I was just beside myself with all of this. I was just beside myself with all of this stress that I got in the car like minutes before everyone was going to arrive. I got in the car. I'm like, I can't do this. I left the house. I left the house and I just went driving around and I'm like, God, this is all so wrong. This is all like, there is no peace in my life. And so, you know, I mean, just giving you that little window, I've written a book. I don't know if you know this. I wrote a book called Control Girl, Lessons on Surrendering Your Burden of Control from 7 Women in the Bible. And Eve was one of those women I studied. And I'm like, here I am again. I'm making Eve's same mistake. I'm trying to play God. And it feels so noble in the moment. It feels like I have all these good intentions. And if everybody would go ahead.
And the specific way that we're trying to be like God in that moment is we're trying to be the infinite one, right? We know about his character that he is infinite. He is limitless in his capacity and the way in which he can work in our lives. The problem is we're not. And to get really granular specific, I think, wouldn't you agree that that's the way in which we're trying to be like him?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I was trying to create my own little Eden there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was trying to recreate Eden and it's not possible. And I was trying to, like, I saw myself as if I was God. You know, I have to bark the orders. I have to, you know, I have to take control here. And what I've noticed, Rebecca, is the more controlling I get, especially around like holidays like Christmas, the more controlling I get, the more miserable everybody becomes. It produces the opposite effect. I feel like I'm trying to create a nice holiday for everyone. Yeah. And yet I'm imposing stress and tension. And there was this day that I was leading Bible study and I asked the women in my group to go around and share a prayer request about a relationship that they wanted us to be praying for. And I figured, you know, maybe we'd hear about some parenting or marriages, but every woman around the table that day shared about a really controlling mom or a really controlling mother-in-law. And I have to say it was right around the holidays.
Yeah.
And after they finished sharing, I leaned into the table and I said, you guys, I have a question. Like, how do we not become them?
Yes.
Like, how do we ensure like 15 or 20 years from now, it's not our daughters and our daughter-in-law sitting around this table? Because I already saw the seeds of control. I was just a young mom at that point. And I saw, like, and I had thought about how trying to take control could ruin an afternoon or a date night with my husband or a family outing. I hadn't thought about who I was becoming in life. And that moment, like hearing all of those stories about these controlling women and how like they were actually imposing such burden on their families.
Yeah.
It was a real, like I cried all the way home from Bible study that day and I said, God, deliver me. I don't want to become this burden on my family. I think so many women feel that way. Like we're just trying, we have such noble intentions. We're just trying to make it all turn out right. And yet we need to shift our perspective on who ultimately is in control.
Yeah.
And I see such a beautiful picture of that in the Christmas story in Mary.
Yeah.
When that angel came to visit her. I mean, this conversation, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't think it was very long. And in the space of like a 5 to 10 minute conversation where Mary learns that her whole life is going to be upturned, she is going to have a baby at the wrong time, you know, before the marriage has been consummated. She, at the end of that conversation, I mean, what does she say? She says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. I mean, I just reflect on her being able to respond so immediately that way. I don't think this is the first time Mary has spoken words like this. You know, I think this was sort of a lifestyle. I am the Lord's servant. Like she sees he is God and she is not. I'm the servant. You know, let it be to me as you have said. I hear such beautiful surrender in those words. And that I think is what brings peace to our lives, whether we're planning a Christmas party, whether we're dealing with an unruly teenager, whether we're, you know, dealing with things that are out of our control, whether it's infertility or loss or whatever it is, you know, all of the pain and disruption. If we can bring ourselves back to God's original intention in the garden of saying, you are God and I am not, I surrender to you. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Mm-hmm. That I think is what it's what brings the order back, the peace back.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that. Well, I have a couple of passages that I want us to reflect on as we think about peace. I'm going to read these scriptures over us as we kind of continue walking through the conversation. The first one is I can't help but think about Isaiah 9, where the prophet Isaiah foretells of Jesus's birth. And I'm going to read that verse for us where it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So when I read that, what stirs up in you as you reflect on that name of God, that he's our Prince of Peace?
Mm. Yeah, well, a prince is a son of a king, right? And that's Jesus. You know, he is the son of the king of the world. He is God's son. And he, you know, he came in such a humble way. He was born to a poor couple. He was laid in a manger. He lived, you know, just this humble life. But that does not mean that he was less than the king of the world. And he, you know, he did die on that cross so that to make peace with God, but he rose again, you know, and he has promised that he will come again and he will set up his rule on this earth. And how will his rule be characterized? Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So he is this king. He's going to bring back that shalom that has been lost on the earth so that we will all, when Jesus returns, and the earth is recreated, and those who of us who are in Christ will be with him. You know, we will live again. This YOLO is a lie. You only live once is a lie. We will live twice.
Yeah, this is not it.
Yeah, and so we will get to experience his rule and his reign and living in shalom, that peace. You know, where there's no suffering, no pain, no strife. And yet I want to say too, that his rule isn't just about then and there. Like he said, my kingdom is coming, but my kingdom is here. And so there's the both then and there and the here and now. And so if we have made Jesus our Lord, you know, if we're trying to, or if we, like Mary, you let it be to me as you have said, I'm the Lord's servant. If we have bowed our knee to him as our king, we can have his peace in the here and now. Like he is ruling my life now. He is in control. Surrendering to him now is how I find peace.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Another passage that really encourages me when I think about peace is when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and the gift of his peace to the disciples in John 14. And so I'm going to read those verses for us, starting in verse 25. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So I wonder, as you reflect on that, how does that encourage you?
Right. Well, Jesus was, you know, these verses are the time when Jesus is getting his disciples ready for his departure. And yeah. So they're living between, or they were going to be living between his first coming and his second coming. And that's where we are too, right?
Yeah.
We're living in that space between Jesus has gone to be with the Father in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and we're waiting for his return. And so how are we supposed to deal with, because like the world is not at peace. Like there is so much pressure and strife. And I mean, you can just feel the chaos. The world is coming apart at its seams. So how are we supposed to deal with this? And Jesus says that he's left a helper. He's left his spirit. His spirit lives inside of us, and it teaches us and it reminds us what he has said, you know, and it gives us this otherworldly peace. You know, if you don't have Jesus in this world, you absolutely know that there is tension and chaos, and you feel this need, like, I got to control this all, and there's nothing you can do. But if you are in Christ, you have a different perspective. You're living for not just your own little world, your own little story where you have to be the king of your little life. No, you're living for a bigger story, this overarching story where Jesus is the king and he's going to come again. And so there's tension, Rebecca. Like I don't have hardly any relationships that have no tension. The closer I am to somebody, the more tension there is, right? There's actually a person that I have had this tension or this conflict with for many, many years. And I would have said, you know, I had done everything I possibly could to make peace with this person. And it caused such turmoil in my heart and strife. And yet, for years, like 5 or 6 years, I've been surrendering that to God, saying, you know, I'm your servant, Lord. I don't know that I've done everything. You know, the word says that to the extent that it's on us to live at peace with everyone. So I had done everything I could. And then God did something miraculous and brought peace between me and this other person. And so like, oh my goodness, there's this shalom in our relationship. Not anything that I couldn't have done any more. Now, it did take some humility for that reconciliation to take place. But so I look at that relationship before and after this reconciliation. I did have peace before, you know, but only not because the relationship was settled, but because I had this peace in Christ. And now I'm enjoying this beautiful peace that is only possible because of Christ. And so I think, you know, that's how we live. There are things that are out of our control that we don't feel the peace in the situation. And yet we have this otherworldly internal peace that Jesus gives us. And that's, you know, that's really where our hope is.
Yeah. Praise God for that. I'm so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Well, another piece that I think we can't ignore as we think about peace is our thought lives. Mm-hmm. And I love how clearly Paul kind of lays this out to the Philippians about, he talks about peace and our thought lives. And I'm going to read what might be a really familiar passage for some of us, but I pray that as we kind of think through this and think about it in light of peace, that maybe God will use it in a new way. I'm going to start reading in verse 6 of this chapter where he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So as you hear me read that, Shannon, I wonder, what might be kind of stirring up in you as we reflect on turning to Him first in our anxiety and kind of reflecting on all of these things that Paul encourages us that we should be having our minds fixed on, right? How does all of that play together?
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting in these verses is if you back up and look at the context, Paul is pleading with these two women who are not at peace with each other. He's saying, Euodia and Syntyche, I plead with you, you know, for the sake of the gospel, to agree with one another. And so like what I'm picturing, I don't know, we don't have any windows into this situation, but I mean, these are two strong believers who have partnered with Paul for the sake of the gospel, and they're not in agreement about something. Who knows what it is, but it's causing disruption to this church. And so it's like, this is happening even in the church. Wait, these are the people who follow Jesus and say, not my will, but yours be done. And yet there's conflict and there's lack of peace.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I picture these are two control girls, you know, and there are lots of control girls in the church, women who are vying like, no, I am right. No, you need to do it my way. And there's this tension and friction. And so what's the instruction that Paul gives them? He says he gives them something to think about. You know, he says what he gives them this list. It's a, when it says think about these things, you know, after he lists it out, that's that word think about. It's like make a list of these things. It's like, you know, tally them up. And these character or these this list, it's actually character qualities. This isn't just like think about whatever is lovely, like a scene beside a lake or, you know, this is these are things about people. Right? So whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or commendable, like make your list, like think about this other person that you would like to control or that you are in conflict with where there's a lack of peace. And what about her is commendable? Mm. You know, what about her is honorable? What about her is just? What about her is pure? Like make a list in your mind and think about these lovely things, you know, and this, I think, does quell our anxiety and our frustration and our lack of peace, because as we make these lists, we're making God be God, right? These are the things, these are the ways that I see you at work in her life. And so this does bring peace. Like this does bring peace in relationships. And I think any of us who are living with Jesus as our King, like saying, God, you be God in my life. This is this peace that occurs in our relationship with Him. It should spread out in the relationships that we have with one another. It should make a difference. When we're a Euodia or a Syntyche, and I don't even know if I'm saying their names right, but if when we're one of those women vying for control and wanting our way, like because, you know, we're right and this is something we're passionate about, peace should infuse even those sorts of conflicts and relationships. So I think this peace, this Prince of Peace has come to rule our hearts now and rule the earth for all eternity. And He does bring peace. He infuses it in our own hearts and it spills out, it bubbles over in all the different relationships that we're part of.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about peace in light of the other things that we talk about around Advent, like hope, and joy and love. When I'm at peace with God, when I'm experiencing God's peace, I'm also able to experience joy. I'm able to love others and have my hands open to opportunities God places before me. When I'm putting my hope ultimately in Christ, that's what allows me to experience His peace, right? And so it's beautiful as we have all four of these conversations, what I hope and what I pray is that something that can feel a little ambiguous begins to have a little color as we look at God's word.
Yeah, so
and
good.
And that's what I'm seeing as we're having all four of these conversations. And so I'm thankful for how God does that as we look to Him and as we look to His word. So that's beautiful. Okay, we have some fun questions to end this episode on that I'm very, very excited about because while we are all very, very clear on the ultimate purpose of this time and of this season and where we're fixing our hearts, there's so much fun that comes along with this time of year. And so, Shannon, I wonder, what is one of your favorite Advent or Christmas traditions that you do with your family each year?
Yeah, well, my daughter is 25 and she was recently, we were sitting around a fire and she's like, you know what? I learned recently, not everybody does what our family does. Like not everyone sits around and tells old stories. Like, but that is just what we do as a family. Like we tell stories of when the kids were little or things that have happened. And like, we love retelling stories. We're just like a story family. And so one of the traditions that we have, I think really kind of represents our family. We like to, when we're celebrating Christmas, tell part of the Christmas story and not just read it. We started a few years ago when we gather for Christmas, like we would always read the Christmas story, but my husband and I will learn one of the little pieces of the Christmas story. So like last year it was when the angel visited Mary and just we told that story, you know, the way that you would tell any other story. And then we talked about it as a family, with our extended family, like, you know, what do we learn about God in this story? What do we learn about people in this story? How can we live like this is the true story, right? How can we live like it's true? And I think that is a tradition that I want to hold on to. Like that is, it's made a huge difference versus reading the story and telling the story. And I think it's something that even like, doesn't matter the age range of your family, little ones enjoy stories and the elderly can engage in a conversation about a story. So that's one of the things that we love to do. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. What is one of your favorite recipes that you make around the holidays? And would you be willing to share it with us?
Oh, of course. But, you know, I'm not actually the greatest cook.
I love that a couple of our guests on this series, and this was not intentional, shared that. Like, we don't all have to be Martha Stewart, you know?
Yeah. I know. I actually texted my daughter this morning. I'm like, is there any, like, recipe that you can think of that I make. I usually just go do a Costco run. You know, my mom is the great cook of the family and she makes everything homemade. And so I feel like that's her way to bless us. And we all just enjoy all of her good food. But the one thing I do is on Christmas morning, we have breakfast, you know, we'll open gifts for a bit. My mom makes homemade cinnamon rolls and I can give you, how about if I give you that? Her recipe for homemade cinnamon rolls. But then
that would be beautiful.
We take a break at about 11 and have like an egg casserole, which is not fancy. It's just like eggs and cheese and, you know, but it's usually what we do with orange juice and bacon. So that's our Christmas morning.
It does not have to be fancy to be yummy. I love a good egg casserole.
Yeah.
So good. Well, as you know, Shannon, there is one question that I ask every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance podcast. We really have a heart to help women see what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do in our life, our work, our relationships. And so what comes to mind for you in this season when I ask, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
You know, I think it's hard for us to see it in ourselves, right? Like, how do I know? And so I was thinking about this question and reflecting last weekend. I got to speak at a women's retreat. And one special thing about this retreat is I had two friends who came. And these are friends that I have known for like 20 years. The retreat was close to them. I don't live by them anymore, but I invited them and they came. And they had never, like, they're on my prayer team. You know, they pray for me as I go out and serve in these different ways. And they had never been to a retreat. And so it was fun to hear them like reflect on. And one of the things that they said was, Shannon, you have such joy, you know, you radiate such joy. And I mean, I just look at these opportunities to speak as I'm talking about some of my favorite stories about Jesus. Like these are just, these stories, I think of them like these little velvet pouches that cluster up all of these rich theological gems, you know, and the story is what holds them together. And so I'm just like spreading out the gems saying, hey, look at these with me. And what they said they see in me is joy. And I think there is such joy in knowing Jesus and understanding why he came and letting him be the ruler of our lives.
Amen. That's beautiful. Well, I want you to share with all of our people, where can they find you? Where can they grab your books? Give them titles, give them your handles, all the things, and your podcast as well.
Sure. Well, I, shannonpapkin.com And, you know, we talked a little bit about control. I also have controlgirl.com if that's easier to remember. I love to share about these stories of Jesus on the Live Like It's True podcast. You were just on, Rebecca, and we yes. talked about the story of Noah. It was such a powerful conversation. We just reflected on the somber story and like what it shows us about God and how yeah. we should, you know, live like this. Is a true story. The flood is a true story. So the name of my podcast is Live Like It's True. So mm-hmm. yeah, lots of resources and freebies and stuff for you at my website, shannonpopkin.com.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, friend, this has been such a powerful conversation. I'm so thankful for the heart that God's given you for his word and just how it radiates out of you. That is absolutely true. And you do it with such joy. And I just was so excited to have you be a part of this series. So thank you again for being my guest.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special Advent series called Prepare Him Room here on the Radical Radiance podcast. I hope this conversation with Shannon Popkin about peace has left your heart encouraged, even if this is a difficult Advent season for you. Don't forget to grab your copy of Prepare Him Room, Radical Radiance Interactive Advent Devotional on Amazon today. It's a wonderful companion for diving deeper into these four Advent themes, complete with journal prompts, discussion questions, reflective scriptures, and even activities and recipes to celebrate this season with intention. As we close out today's episode, I want to invite you to hit that subscribe button so you can stay connected with all of the conversations we're having here on Radical Radiance. Remember, as we journey through Advent and beyond, let's continue to shine with the heart of Jesus in our work, our lives, and our relationships. Next episode, I'll be back with a conversation all about joy, where I sit down with my friend Carol Leatham. You won't want to miss it. See you then.